We trust the Spirit of God will answer that prayer as we turn to God's Word in Galatians chapter 5 today. Galatians chapter 5. We have gotten used to this chapter, but oh, may the Lord minister graciously to us this day. We begin reading at verse 22. These wonderful words. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. May the Lord bless this brief reading of His holy word. Let us pray. We are absolutely dependent upon Thee, Almighty God, that Thou wouldst bless to all of us today the Word which is before us. We pray in that almighty, all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit said to us through Paul that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans 15:4. That is precisely what we possess in this seventh virtue in the fruit of the Spirit, which is faith. Faith is real substance and evidence. We read in Hebrews 11:1. The first three virtues point upward to God. His love has brought to us not only salvation, but joy and peace and more love. And the second cluster of virtues point outward to others. Are we long-suffering and patient with others, gentle and kind, showing goodness or kindness? And now the final three are inward in ourselves. Faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Learning to control ourselves in a godly way. Faith is such a great word. It is a noun here, but it is a very active noun because the Greek word for faith comes from two lovely Greek verbs. And the first verb is the root of the second verb, which is so interesting in the Greek language. The first one is the word patho, which means to be persuaded or to be convinced by the evidence. Faith is not blind. No. That first word, that first verb that faith comes from means to be persuaded or to be convinced by the evidence. I love the evidence. The verb that springs from that verb is a verb which is, some of you would be familiar with, pistuo, which means to believe, to be assured, to trust, to confidently accept, and even to be trustworthy or faithful. Now, did you ever think about how words came to be? I love thinking about words. You think about nouns. You know, so many of our nouns, I'm not going to speak for all of them, but so many of our nouns come from verbs. I mean, where would you get a noun like a swimmer? if somebody didn't first make the plunge. There was never a swimmer now till somebody made the plunge into the water and started swimming or paddling or doing whatever to get along in the water. That's so wonderful. It was by doing that the noun came into being. So our noun, faith, developed from these two verbs. And in studying this word faith, I just love studying them in the original, and the text, and then looking them up and comparing them and all the different uses of those words. But I find myself in agreement with only three of the well-known great commentators. And I think all three of them said the same thing, that they didn't agree with the rest of the commentators, and for good reasons. The first one, Dr. Timothy George, was so good on this. I was so glad to see him agreeing with my previous personal study. He mentions that in Galatians, the word faith has different meanings. In chapter 1, verse 23, Paul, we are told, was preaching the faith which once he destroyed. The faith in that passage refers to the whole Christian religion. Dr. George goes on to mention this fact, which is so obvious, that in Galatians, Paul taught many times that we are justified by faith. We are saved by faith, by believing. And this is the faith that the famous commentator, Dr. John Gill, said must not be omitted here. I was so glad to see that in John Gill. Started feeling a little better because I was disagreeing with all these other commentators, and I don't like to do that. Here's what John Gill said. Because faith is so clearly the gift of the Holy Spirit, faith does not originate from a sinner's heart. The context of this letter to the Galatians demands that saving faith must not be excluded from the fruit of the Spirit here. And I agree with Dr. Gill that the context of Galatians sets the pace for the use of that word, even in the fruit of the Spirit. And then Dr. Alan Cairns agreed. He pointed out that in each of these three clusters of the fruit of the Spirit, that the first virtue mentioned in each cluster, such as love, it is the love of God that provides the joy and the peace. And then in the second cluster, it is patience or long suffering that guides us in being gentle and kind to others. And now he says that this divinely given faith controls meekness and temperance in the life. So, for a few moments, consider with me what Dr. Gill said was so important not to be excluded here, and that is saving faith. Saving faith is the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit as He works effectually upon the spiritually dead sinner. Saving faith is not some inherent power that resides in every human heart. The freedom of the human will is unilateral. It moves naturally in one direction. Freedom to sin. Don't believe me? Listen to Jesus. Jesus speaks twice and definitively to this very close together. one chapter and then again in the next. In John chapter 5, verse 40, Jesus said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." That is, you are not willing to come to me. The next chapter, he goes even deeper. John 6:65, Jesus said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father." Now, mark that. Once again, we have two verbs coming together. No man can come. Two verbs joined right together. No man can come. And I mentioned this just the sort of the normal verb for coming, but the verb for can is so amazing here. Now, except it were given him of my Father, no man can come, Jesus said. And of course, the giving of the Holy Spirit to work salvation in sinners was and is the Father sending him. As Jesus said in John 14:26, the Father, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. It is the Father sending the Holy Spirit to do this wonderful work in us. Only by the Holy Spirit's powerful enabling can a sinner believe on Christ, receive him to the saving of the soul. Only by that immediate power of the Holy Spirit. It's miraculous. Now back to Jesus' words there. He said, no man, it's John 6:65, no man can come to me. The verb for can is the verb dunamai, where we get our word dynamite, meaning no man has that ability. No man possesses that dynamic. No man has that power in himself to come. What can you conclude then from Christ's words except his clear meaning that saving faith can only come directly and personally from God himself? Therefore, let us cry to the Holy Spirit at this very moment, in this room, to come in all of his quickening power, his life-giving power, to regenerate lost, helpless souls. That's what we were singing just moments ago. Oh, if you have not been savingly quickened or given the new birth into Christ, I urge you at this very moment to cry out to God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and enable me. Give me that grace to come and to believe for everlasting life. And oh, Lord Jesus, thou art seated on the highest throne with all power in heaven and in earth. Thou hast power to intercede. Oh, pray, blessed Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would come in such converting power that souls would believe on him this very moment. And finally, faith does mean at times faithful, some places in the New Testament. For example, Paul commanded Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2 to commit to faithful men the ministry of the gospel. Exact same words, but used in a different context. Meaning, steadfast, trustworthy men. Of course they must be men of faith, but that's not what's being driven at in that verse. That verse is clearly saying that ministers must be men of godly, consistent, biblical character and integrity, trustworthy, steadfast, or faithful. Again, individuals with truly trustworthy character, Paul describes with this same word for faith. And using in every case this word in a manner that is so obvious, it's a different construction in the original text, so that it's completely a different meaning, distinctly different from how we used the terminology in saving faith. Now the four of those faithful men Paul mentioned their names. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 6, and in Colossians chapter 4, he mentioned those four men, not all in the same book, but he mentioned all four of them. The names of those four men that were faithful men, men of integrity, that were trustworthy, were Timothy, Tychicus, Epaphras, and Onesimus. And so the lesson from this use of the word should be obvious to us. When God truly applies saving faith to a lost soul, that saved soul will grow into a faithful, steadfast, dependable, honest follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is all a part of the sovereign purpose of God. For in Romans 8:29, we read, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to just live any way they wanted to live. No. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate for them to go on in sin, that grace may abound. No, he didn't say that. Read what he said. Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, to be like Jesus. No one is born of God apart from this sovereign purpose. Where true saving faith is, there is the indwelling Holy Spirit who continues his work of sanctifying grace, setting us apart more and more from our old life, our old sins, our old ways, our old man, into our new life. It is the Spirit of God dwelling within. Philippians 2:13. For it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Notice, it is the Spirit of God who is the one working within the believer to bring each child of God into spiritual maturity. Both to will. He moves us so that the child of God is willing to do God's will. And then it is the same Spirit who gives the power to go ahead and do, to will and to do of his good pleasure in the believer. This wonderful gift, virtue, and grace of the Holy Spirit that is called faith is real. And it shows itself in the believer's life. John Gill said, as Paul said, not all men have faith. Now, of course, in the text, it says it in our authorized version a little different. All men have not faith. Well, some men do, thank God. But not all men have faith. If you have faith or trust or full reliance on Christ, on his work for your salvation, it is the miracle of the Holy Spirit's effectual call in you. Romans 8:9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you do not possess the indwelling Holy Spirit, you do not belong to Christ as one of his family today. If you have been born of God, then the Holy Spirit lives in you and works on you to make you like Jesus. And we got to be careful here. I don't think Jerry and Levi are the only ones that have the same birthday, maybe, in this congregation. I don't know any of the rest. Brent and Brian have the same birthday, I know. But see, we're all different. We can't compare ourselves to others. It's dangerous. As the Holy Spirit lives in each believer and matures each one, every one is different. Not any two of us are at exactly the same place in our growth and in our experience in Christ's school. But the Holy Spirit is definitely working in everyone that He is enabled to trust in Christ alone. He is at work in every trusting believer to make us into trustworthy believers. Let me say that concluding sentence one more time. The Spirit of God is at work in every trusting believer to make us into trustworthy believers. I'm so glad that God's not finished with me yet. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we love Thee because Thou hast first loved us. And we love Thy truth because it nourishes us. It blesses us. It encourages us. Oh God, write Thy word upon our hearts. May we each one be sure that we have this wonderful gift of faith so that we rely not upon ourselves, not upon our works, not upon anything or anyone other than Christ. Please help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.